Greetings, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, balancing into another Express Yourself on a beautiful September afternoon in the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm Luke Nessler. And before we get started, let me remind you that we are in the middle of our membership drive, and right now we're up above 50,000, almost at 51,000. So if you're an Express Yourself fan, you need to call us right now, 963-0139, and pledge your support to KDNK. The Carbondale Historical Society celebrates this year's Potato Day with a series of audio pieces devoted to the women of the Roaring Fork Valley through history. You'll hear a clip in just a few minutes, but first I want to speak with Sue Gray of the Society. Welcome, Sue.
Thanks, Luke.
How are you?
I am doing very well. Looking forward to the 111th Potato Day.
Is
on Saturday, October 3rd.
111. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's our longest-running festival in Carbondale.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me more about this project. It sounds very intriguing.
Yeah, we're doing the Carbondale Historical Society always does a project for Potato Day. Last year, we had a really fun ghost party at the Thompson House. Where we featured Carbondale's pioneers as ghosts telling their life stories. And this year we have Historic Women of Carbondale, which is an audio production that's in celebration of the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. Goes along with the theme of this year's Potato Day, which is Spuds and Suffragists, Women Voting Proudly for 100 Years. So we're going to feature the life stories of some of Carbondale's most influential women from past to present. And the full stories will be uploaded to our website, carbondalehistory.org, starting on September 14th.
And hopefully we'll find some time to broadcast all of those on KDNK.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yes.
And so Potato Day is going to be a little bit different this year. I wanted to tell people that we're not going to barbecue lunch in the Soper's Park, but we will have a farmer's market from 10 to 3 p.m. at the Christmas Tree Park across from Pepino's Pizza on Main Street. And that's going to be by appointment, the same way Mountain Fair was done. So registration is going to begin on Friday, September 18th at the Carbondale Rec Center. So just contact the Rec Center to make reservations to go to the farmer's market. And we also have some really fun contests going on running through September, from September 14th to October 1st. One of them is Make Your Own Dance Video using Suffragette City by David Bowie. And the winner gets a $100 chamber gift certificate for that. And then we also have Decorate a Potato Contest. And we'll have winners in five categories, each get a $100 chamber gift certificate. And winners in the kids category get a $25 chamber gift certificate. And the details of these contests will be on Carbondale Annual Potato Day Facebook page. That's Carbondale Annual Potato Day.
That sounds really great. Sue, thank you so much. We're going to listen to a clip of one of your vocal pieces here, historical pieces. Here's Edna Sweet.
We lived in a small cabin, and there my brother and I grew up. Many more settlers arrived, and a town was formed where the Roaring Fork met the Crystal, named Coopertown, for its founder, Isaac Cooper, later called Satank. The first school I attended was in the little log building near the Satank Bridge. Those were quiet, peaceful years. The soil produced wonderful gardens, entirely free of weeds, which came only with civilization. The streams were full of trout, and the mountains abounded in games of all kind. We depended on venison for meat, which my father hunted during the winter when the deer came down into the valley. The meat was dried, or jerked, as it was called, and hung up in the meat shed for summer use. Everybody rode horseback, and we took camping trips into the mountains where we found an abundance of wild raspberries, black currants for jelly, and sarvice berries. Everybody calls them service berries now.
Yeah, folks, the devil's dream.
There lived in Marble an old man called Uncle Billy Woods. He had a violin and could grind out only one tune, which he called Wild Injun. When he came to town for supplies, word was passed around, and we would all meet at someone's cabin where we danced the waltz, polka, and square dances to the strains of Wild Engine through the night. We danced all night because it was a special amusement and it didn't happen often. After Isaac Cooper died, the town of Cooperden faded back somewhat, while a mile to the east, a new town was springing up, which was later to become Carbondale. In the fall of 1887, my father took me to boarding school in Aspen. When I returned home at Christmas time, only 3 months later, I was amazed to see the town had doubled in size. Shortly after that, in 1888, Carbondale was incorporated, named by Ellery Johnson, the town surveyor, for his hometown, Carbondale, Pennsylvania. Two railroads had reached Carbondale and were continuing to lay tracks up to Aspen, the Denver and Rio Grande and the Midland. Another railroad was building from Carbondale up the Crystal to handle the coal. Those were wild, crazy days. The coal mining camps of Marion and Spring Gulch were running at full blast, and the miners came down to Carbondale to spend their money. Pretty soon there were 15 saloons, and some poor unfortunate soul was rolled every night for his money. After I graduated, I became a school teacher. I taught at the brick school built on Mary Jane Francis Ranch, south of town. In 1893, while women all over the country clamored for the right to vote, Colorado passed a referendum giving women that right. I never gave much thought to elections, as that was the business of men. But after the referendum passed, I registered and voted, 27 years before the 19th Amendment giving all American women the right to vote.
And isn't it interesting that women's suffrage gained traction in the Rocky Mountain West first? Well, stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have a few more of those vocal bits from the Carbondale Historical Society here on KDNK.